We're in lesson 9 of the book of Ephesians, and we left off last week with verse 15, chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Now Paul, from this point down, verse 15 down, Paul is actually going to start praying for knowledge and power. If you notice what we're going to look at, he don't so much want to start praying for healings or physical this or physical what can I get out. It's knowledge and wisdom. So Paul thanks God for the saints and mentions them in his prayers. Just like in Romans chapter 1 when he says, without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So praying is talking to God. And I think we know that. And sometimes we go through some circumstances and things are not right. It seems like we talk to God the Father, oh Lord, just, you know, give me wisdom. Just give me some insight. Tell me what I'm going to do. But when things start going our way, we just kick back and say, hey, we got it under control. We don't need nobody. Y'all that way? I am. You know, seriously. You know, I think I've read somebody, you know, getting down on your knees and praying to God every morning that all our shoes should be under the bed so you can go down on your knees to get your shoes type of thing. You know, that's, what is that, flesh, not fleshly ways, but, you know, you can use ways. But I talk to God going down the highway, behind the wheels. You know, so it's not so much your positioning how you got to be. It's your thoughts with his thoughts and your mind with his mind. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of who? Him. Now all we're talking about is Lord Jesus Christ. And note this, this prayer is not, like I mentioned just a few minutes ago, it's not requesting physical things. You know, we just had a prayer request, and many of them had to do with physical things, didn't they? You know, but he's not asking this. But what's on our mind when we talk to God? We want physical things. We want our lives to be in line. We want our bodies to be healed. We want our minds, you know, we want that job, you know, that type of thing. That's not what Paul's saying here. And he prays this, and this is what he prays. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Do you see what he's praying for?
Yes.
What is it? Wisdom and knowledge in him. And 99% of fundamental preachers in this country, if I can say that correctly, pray to keep us from temptation. You know, Father, deliver them. Keep them out of this. Keep them out. Or keep us standing in truth. Or give us wealth. Or get us through. Or pay our bills. That type of thing. Have you ever noticed that? A lot of TV preachers that you're, you know, sort of watching. The radio preachers. You can listen to them. You can listen to some of your best preachers. Not dispensational preachers. But your best preachers that you listen to radio. Because you like him. Somehow, some way, he's going to pray this prayer for you. But very few pray to the Father that help my congregation or church that they might seek Pauline truths. Now that's what I want you to listen to this week when you listen to that radio. Ask them if they're lining up their thoughts and prayers according to Pauline truths. Or is it according to their truth or their church doctrine? Paul says, I am praying that God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father glory, that's the glorious Father, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. He says, I want you folks to know God, the Father. I want you to know him, and because he's going to give you the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and the revelation of him. This is big. And he says, I want you to be able to recognize his way, his will, and his working. So we want to line up our thoughts and our prayers and our wills with God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that, hey, look what I'm going to get out of it. This is my will. You know, it is. I know you guys, same as you know me, we all have wills. We want this right. We want that right. I want that. I want that. That's your will. That ain't God the Father's will. You know, so I'm thinking, yeah, I recognize that. So sometimes I'm over here in my will. She might get mad at me. My wife might get mad at me. But she understands it's, Edward, you're in your will. You know, you're in your flesh. And I acknowledge this, said, you know, right, you're right, honey. I'm in my flesh. So I have to line myself back up over here and get in front of God's will. And you're able to recognize that. And you want to be, he wants you to be able to apprehend and appreciate what God is doing. You know, what we are doing here as a local church, holding a flag of truth for the Pauline truth, that's great. That's good will. That's good. That's doing the Lord's work. But we have to line up with what God's doing. If we started preaching and teaching another gospel, you know, or following another apostle, some of you know this book well enough now to say, whoa, wait a minute, preacher. You know, this ain't what we had been taught before. So you line yourself up with God. So he wants you to, he says, to give you. He's not talking about God giving you the Holy Spirit here. Because you know what? If you're saved, don't you already have the Spirit?
Amen.
You know, I tell people all the time that the Spirit that raised God the Son up from the dead is the same Spirit that's living inside of each and every one of us if we're saved today. And it's just sitting there wanting and groaning and wanting to grow as you grow. But when we feed it the wrong way, it can't move. It can't get excited. Now, you may think it does when you say, praise God, hallelujah, and we start walking on tabletops. You know, that type of thing. That ain't the Spirit of God doing that. That's your spirit, isn't it? And we know that. Some of us have been there, done that, and got t-shirts. But the thing is, you know, you already have the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because we already got started reading about the Holy Spirit's already sealed you in verse 13. Mm-hmm. Now, we talked about God. We talked about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we talked about the Holy Spirit. And when you trust Christ Jesus, He puts your spirit in Him. And the seal is the Spirit, and God the Father is the sealer. So who can break that seal?
Only God.
Only God. Not you and I. And I know sometimes we may not feel like we're worthy enough to be alive. You know, that type of thing. Or, you know, who am I to share the gospel of grace somewhere? You know, I remember you when you was this high, that type of thing. And you're like, well, gosh, you know. But that's just your human viewpoint and Satan's viewpoint trying to put doubt in your mind. Because you are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. And God the Father does that. And I know people says you can get out of it. I do not believe that at all. But look, what he's talking about, he's giving it to you in a sense of being able to appreciate what you have. Having that apprehension of the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit in relationship to the advanced mystery truths. You know, what is that spirit wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him? Well, one of the things is this. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Wisdom. That's in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. The Spirit of Wisdom. Number two is the Holy Spirit is said to be the Spirit of Revelation. That's Ephesians chapter 5. The mystery is revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Okay? Number three, you can think about the Spirit of Wisdom and Revelation as the reference to the ministry function of God, the Holy Spirit. Okay? He is a Spirit, isn't He? And then four, you can think about the enlightenment. What does the enlightenment and illumination come from? When you preach the Word of God, that words on that page comes off of that words, illuminates, and gets inside of your soul. You hear it and gets inside of your soul. Only God the Spirit can do that. Mm-hmm. Now, I know She reads books. Many of you may read books also. You know, books, not books about the book, but just books. And you watch her and she's fascinated, you know, about, you know, what you're reading. And you're like, you know, those words on that page is coming off of there into her eyes and in her understanding, and she's starting to become a part of that book. See, it can happen to any books. But God, the Holy Spirit, does this. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Do they come from man's spirit or God's, God the Holy Spirit? When you talk about illuminating off the pages and you talk about God the Holy Spirit, you know, because you know this to be true. You had a spirit before you was made alive with God's spirit. But it was dead. You had a soul. You had a body. You made up three parts, spirit, soul, and body. And until you were saved, until you heard the gospel of your salvation, your spirit, and I believe that's part of your thinking because that's renew your mind, that's renewing spirit, was cut off from God. But your conscience was still there. You know, he was talking about that earlier, about the conscience of God. God put a conscience in everybody to know good from evil. And I thought I knew what good from evil was ever since I was growing this high. You know, and if I wasn't in line, my mother switched me for a time or two. And she didn't switch me, and the neighbors got me. You know, that type of thing. But look, I thought I knew really what's right from wrong until I understood God through God that he died for me and was buried and rose again and started lining up through right division. Right division, you know, good as well, does not save us, does it? It helps us, the key to understanding the Bible, what's to us and what's for us. And when I started lining my mind up with what God says, you know, that made a difference with this old spirit. And you're not going, well, you're not going to move me. You know, many people's tried. Many people's tried to convince me, hey, you ever consider this? No, I stay with the words on the page. But look, they come from God the Holy Spirit. You do not get wisdom and revelation from your spirit, but you get it from God the Holy Spirit. Now, let me back up this for a second. Can you get wisdom and understanding and knowledge from your spirit? Think about it, you know. Yeah, yeah. Many of us have been taught. You know, we work, we do this. We learned things in our own spirit and went to school, and they taught us from their man's spirit and their revelation of wisdom. And you go on and you create, you know, become truck drivers or, you know, scientists and stuff. You got that from man's wisdom. So you can be taught some things, but does it line up from God's wisdom? And this is a book that people's tried to destroy, you know, you guys know, forever. You know, And people in the past, there's been kings that took a penknife and cut every one of those words and throw them in the fire. Destroy God's word. And God told the prophet Jeremiah, said, go and write everything what I told you and add this to it. So you can't destroy God's word. Okay? It's infallible. It's inerrant. And once you get inside of you, how are they going to destroy that? They can't, can they? You know, you can say, hey, take my books away, take my electronics away, but I've got enough doctrine stored up in me that it's going to be able to help me to still understand God's knowledge and stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God had prepared for them that loved him. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? So the spirit of man is in you, right? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So you got the Spirit of God here. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with what? That's how you determine you compare spiritual things with spiritual. Man's wisdom. Let me tell you something. You ever heard of Alexandria? Egypt? What does man's wisdom say about that world there? Well, that's where everything, all the knowledge of man's wisdom was there in Alexandria. The whole world revolved around their books and their knowledge and that stuff. But you got a book that came out of Antioch. And that's God's wisdom. So you got man's wisdom, and that's always been an issue, guys. When Satan came and approached Adam and Eve, he introduced not only you had God's wisdom and Satan's wisdom, he introduced human viewpoint, and that became man's wisdom. So man's wisdom is a type of person say, I don't need you. I don't need that God. I'm a God. See? And the world's wisdom will teach you that about those gods. We know people time and time and time again went off and went to college. Know this message, went off and went to college, and they stripped you from God the Creator, and they brought their gods in. And then they come out of college saying, hey, that book was just written. It ain't 1,500 years old, you know. But this guy tells me that it's, you know, billions of years old. When I think about the earth, people say 400 billion years old, whatever. That don't bother me, guys. They just got their carbon dating wrong. And that's man's wisdom there. You know what I mean? God created it. Whether we know it's 7,000 years, 6,000 years, whatever, or further than that, God created it. So I don't get caught up in all that stuff. That's man's wisdom that's going to come in here and tell you what they think. And just because he's got a PhD, people goes, ooh, wow, don't they? Yeah. You know, we had them here. Sitting here, and they got caught up over one little word. One little word in Paul's epistles. By the cross. And they kept saying, no, it's at the cross. It's at the cross. I said, I see what you're saying, but the word says by the cross. But look, you got to think about some things. Oh, we've got to keep reading. Verse 14. But the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For he hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of who? You have the mind of Christ. Now, you may not think you do, or you feel like you do, but we can put on the mind of Christ. And we can think and line ourselves up with what God is saying through Paul, with the knowledge and wisdom. It's not that we're going to go around like, hey, you know more than I do. That's not what it's talking about here, because each one of us is at different levels. That's why when we started Dispensation Bible Church, every one of us at different levels, so we started in Romans. And we went through the book of Romans to get that foundational truth. And that's, you remember back in Romans 16, chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 25. Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him that is power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to what? The revelation of the, not according to the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, but according to the revelation which was kept secret since the world began. That truth, if you remember that, where you had the foundational truth, which is my gospel. Now, if you want to know God's, what he's doing today, you got to know Paul's gospel. He makes it personal. Do you make it personal? I do. Hey, this is my gospel. You want to know what my gospel is? It's Christ died for my sins and buried and rose again. It's not joining churches, paying tithes, and being baptized. See? It's doing it God's way. And then the advanced mystery truths, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to that mystery program. And you got that foundational truth already, so now you're over here in Ephesians. And when you come to Ephesians, you get off the foundational, the basic foundations, and you move over to the advanced mystery truths. That's where we're at right now. We're going to start studying. We just started. And we're studying the advanced mystery truth of what God is doing in the heavenly program, not what He's doing on the earth. You're members of the body of Christ. This is not your earth. This is not your home. Your home is the heavenlies. And you don't only find that through Paul's epistles. Wonderful truths. And when you come to Ephesians, you get off of that. And we are studying the issues here. And Paul is praying that the people at Ephesus, you know, if you want to narrow it down, say, well, he's really not talking to me. He wrote the book to Ephesus. Like he wrote the book of Corinthians, he wrote it to them. But once you believe that, that's a part of you. See, these are my books. The whole Bible's for me, but all of it's not to me. So those are some key things. And you, the people that read this book, and were properly oriented and appreciated God, the Holy Spirit, teaching ministries in regards to that advanced mystery truths. If we didn't have that teaching ministry, the Holy Spirit, and helps us to discern some things, this mystery truth would just go over our heads. But we can understand some things. You know, we don't, I mean, don't force it. Just let it come. Say, you know, I really don't understand this at this time. That's okay. But don't give up and throw your Bible to the side and say, I was better off doing over here. I was better off going over to them other churches and staying because I didn't have to do nothing. You know, I tell people all the time, I think I scared a lot of people off, that when you have this mystery truth, when you get saved, there's a battle. Okay? But when you start to learn the word of truth, standing for the King James Bible, one, the other one is standing for Pauline truth, dispensation truth, there's another battle. Because you know what? You're going to lose friends. You're going to lose family members. Because before you was just all lovey-dovey and everybody's, you know, singing Kumbaya and the stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody's in one big circle. But then you started studying your Bible. And then you started saying, whoa, wait a minute now. This don't seem right. By one spirit you're baptized, but you want me to jump over here in a lake or a river? You know, come on now. And you start studying, and you take those scriptures to the people, the bigwigs, if you will. And you're like, wait a minute, you just don't line up. Oh, that's okay, don't worry about that. You know, that type of thing. Or when you finally realize that you do trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, and plus nothing else. And you're like, whoa. And they say, come on over here, Eddie. You was saved when you was that little high. I'm like, I know I went to the church, and I know I did went up the altar. And, you know what I mean? So how do you, you know, so you don't kick them in the teeth. You just be who you are, and you continue to study the Word, and they make that decision. They say, you know, that's Sean. I don't know if I want him in my church anymore. And Sean like, but I love it here. I love you, God. All I want to be is who I am in Christ, and I just want to share this joy. Well, you know, go over there to another place. Been there, done that, got the right foot of fellowship. And, you know, that type of thing. But you know something? You don't let that bother you. You know, because something tells me you're doing something right. And you're lining your will and knowledge up with God. You know, God's been there. You know, you love churches. You love the family that you was in before. And you realize it wasn't. And you started studying your Bible. And you're saying, wait a minute. This is right. That other stuff is not right. So, you know, you make that choice. And God's not going to beat you up. But your spirit's not going to grow. Verse 18. The eye. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened that ye may know. There it is. See? Know what? What was the prayer he wants you to know? Wisdom and what?
Knowledge.
That you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of his glory, of his inheritance of the saints. The eyes being of your understanding being lightened, that you may know. If you know these three things that he's going to share, you will know him, God the Father. And God, look at this. What is the hope of your calling? You see that? What is the hope of your calling? In other words, he is calling to us, which will be, his calling to us is the resurrection and glorifying vacation of our bodies. That we know the hope of his calling. He's going to call us out of here. He didn't call me on the phone. You know, people says, hey, Ed, when did you know you was called? And I said, you know, I always say, well, I never did get a call. I got a text. You know, I show them the Word of God. It's a text. It's a book. And, you know, and they asked me, I said, you know, I can't find anywhere he called me to be a preacher. I had a desire to be the preacher. See? And that, how did I get that desire? I got that word down inside of me and I got something to say. And you guys know, you've been in front of people and stuff and talked to people. When you got something to say, that's exciting, isn't it? And a lot of people say, well, I ain't got nothing to say. Yeah, you do. You can witness, knowing what you already have inside of you, can share and bring enlightenment to people that's dying in a dark world. But the fashion after his glorious body, whereby we will represent and manifest his glory and fill the position and rank in the heavenly places for eternity. Hold your fingers there and go, what does Ephesians 4? 4 say. Ephesians 4, 4. Ephesians 4, 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your what? Calling. What is Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking for. That's his calling. We're looking for a glorious appearing. Colossians chapter 1. Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 5 says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Where's our hope at? Yeah, that's it. Our glorious hope. Our glory. Chapter 3, verse 4. Chapter 3, verse 4 of Philippians. Or excuse me, Colossians. Colossians. When Christ... Well, look at verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, which Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things that are above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in... What is the hope of your calling? It's that glorious, knowing the glorious of Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that he's going to call you out of here and he's going to resurrect you and give you a glorious body. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 20. Once again, for our conversation is in heaven, from hence also we look for the Savior of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't look for that earthly minister of Jesus Christ, do we? But yet, people will get you saved and get you right back over to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where the Lord Jesus Christ walked his earthly ministry to who? The nation of Israel. And you know, and they say, okay, this is what we want you to do. Listen, I'm all for following the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you think I'm not? But if you try to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, you're mistaken yourself. You're not going to be able to do it, guys. And that's not being ugly. You're not, and many of you probably have tried. You try to do this and try to do that and try to do that, and you just get frustrated and say, you know, maybe God's not, I'm not in God's will. Or maybe it's just not my time. That's wrong. Because he did it to the T. He did everything the scripture said to fulfill, and he fulfilled it. Now we follow the Lord Jesus Christ as the glorified risen Lord through a pattern called Apostle Paul. Simple as that. We don't have to go out and make a new pattern. That's rough, isn't it? You know, you sit down there, you show me some things last week about some artwork, you know, design. You're sitting there, you're constantly thinking about other patterns. But sometimes you can go back up and say, you know something? Pattern's already done. I'm just going to change that color a little bit. You know, put on another shirt or, you know, another. The pattern's there. And you think about 1 Corinthians 15, the whole chapter is about the resurrection and the calling out of here. A lot of things. What is the hope of the calling? How do I know the Lord himself? The second thing, Ephesians, you look at, what is the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints? Not only the position is in the heavenlies, but the wealth and riches are in Christ Jesus. You know, that's what Hebrews talks about, that Jesus Christ is the heir of all things. Is he not?
Amen.
That's what the whole battle for is, control the authority of the universe. It's not just this little old piece of real estate down here. It's the whole universe is corrupted. And when God gave the Son the inheritance of all things, just like he's the king of the nation Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and 1 Kings over the earth, so he is the head of the body to establish his authority over the heavenlies. You know by now, you cannot find anything in times past books of Genesis through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and first part of Acts, that anything that Jesus Christ is referred to the head of a body. He's the king of a nation. So when you come to Paul and understand some things, now he's talking about a head of a body, you know? And then people says, oh, I got it. The body of Christ today is replacing the nation Israel in times past. So we're all Israelites. So they can continue that course, what God is doing. Some of you are shaking your heads like, that's sad. You know, but that's what they teach us. Yes, sir.
I heard somebody refer to them as a spiritual Israel.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And if you read your book, Romans chapter 9, 10, 11, there is no such thing as spiritual Israel. There's no such thing.
They're enemies.
And what? Turn there for a second. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, it says, verse 25, and God through Paul is writing to Israelites here that's saved in that kingdom program to explain to them, saying, hey, God hasn't forgot about you, but this is what he's doing in the dispensation of grace. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. That's what's wrong with people. They're wise in their own conceits. They're taking their wisdom over God's wisdom. He says that blindness is in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Now, wait a minute. Do you want to be a part of a blind nation? I've been blind half my life. You know, following three blind mice, if you will. Three blind men. Blindness has happened in a part of Israel. God is explaining that God is not working through the nation Israel today. He says until the fullness of Gentiles come in. As so, verse 26, all Israel shall be saved. Now, when is that going
to
happen?
Ages come.
Now, who's going to be all Israel?
The saved remnant of Israel.
Not the ones that denied him and all that stuff. That saved Israel is going to be all of Israel over here. He says, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Has that happened yet?
No.
That happens right over here when he comes back. The second coming. Verse 27. For this is my covenant unto
them.
Now who is them?
Israel.
It's not the body of Christ. And he says, when I shall take away their sins. That's why Peter kept saying, repent and be converted. that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come and he sends them forth, Jesus Christ. This is when their sins are going to be blotted out. So if you're wallowing around in Acts 28 for your salvation, you're still in your sins. That's sad. And if I can convince you of that, I'd have you coming every Sunday up here. Lost, saved. Off, saved. Off, saved. Off, saved. Lost, oh no, off, lost, saved. Got me? That's how they keep them sheep coming. I'm not being ugly. Not one time will I call you a sheep. You're a saint of the Most High God. But look, what's that next verse? And concerning the gospel, they, who's that they? Israel, are enemies for your sake. For the gospel. If you're over here in another gospel and not in Paul's gospel, that's enemy. That's enemies. But go back. Look, the body of Christ's authority. The Lord Jesus Christ is the heir of all things, and we are in who? Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. And put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that fitteth all in all. You see that? He's talking about a body. Note this right quick. There is a oneness in the kingdom of God with all saints. Don't forget that. Once it's all said and done, it's the kingdom of God. The heaven and earth is the kingdom of God. Okay? And we must understand there are saints that are that in a body in the heavenly and saints in the Davidic kingdom that God sets up on this earth over here. And that, you know, Acts 20, verse 32, Paul, God through Paul was explaining to Israel the fall to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. That's Israel and the body of Christ. So don't think that, you know, you're out there by yourself. Look at me. I'm glorified and resurrected. When it's all said and done, and you get up under that whole umbrella of God, like it was first created, the heaven, when we're seated in heavenly places with the other angelic hosts that did not fall, and God through the nation of Israel and all the earthly saints that got saved down there, even the kingdom, even the Gentiles grabs a hold of a Jew, 10 of them, and walks in that kingdom because they see God with them. And they want that. See, it all goes back under that kingdom of God, and you're sanctified by faith with me. Let me finish this up right quick. What is, the third thing is we read down from verse 19 down to 23. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? That mighty power of God Almighty is when Jesus Christ receives his adoption and inheritance of all things. Now right now he's up there sitting on the right hand of the Father. I believe that. But all of it's not his yet until his authority comes into play. You know, right now God of this world is Satan. He controls this world system. He's also known as the prince and power of the air. He runs the first and second heaven. It's corrupted. There's three heavens up there. He corrupted that. But you know, you got to understand, there's still saved, if I can say that, angelic beings up there conducting governments. There's governments up there. And there's a false government running side by side with them. But Satan is the prince of power. He's running that. But God the Father and the Son is sitting up there in the third heaven. You're not getting in there. And so he receives the adoption. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and exalted, it says it was exalted far above all principalities. Not just the ones on this earth, but now he's exalted above Satan's authority. He's up there, but it's not come to play yet. What that verse we read over, our blindness has happened in part of Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Now, I've always been taught since, you know, it could happen today. the last Gentile be saved, and God's taking us out of here, and you know, wouldn't it be much better to be taken out of here alive?
Yeah.
You know, than take that dirt bath we always talk about, you know. But that could come first, either or, but we know what the scripture says, that they glare eyes first. But look, he says, putting all things under my feet, my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He gives it to God the Son, who I'm pleased, beloved. And Paul prays that you and I understand God's eternal purpose, so that we are blessed eternal hope can be a reality for us who believes now. You know, I say this, and I need to practice what I preach sometimes. We can live as if we're already in heaven today. In this nasty world going around us, and people's honking and beating, and you know, dog eat dog out there, and you know, people hate you and you hate them. We can live as if we're already in heaven. And we can just be who we are in Christ. And I'm not saying don't defend yourself. I'm not saying that. You know, that's a different story. You protect what's yours. But I'm saying who you are in Christ Jesus today, you can walk around like, you're different, Jerry. You know, I want what you are. Well, let me share this with you. I've got a hope eternally in heavenly places that nothing in this world can ever give it to you. And you be filled. In other words, the position we filled reflecting His glory in our life can be and should be reflected now while we wait for a redemption of our body. That's the will God wants us to know. And if you notice that, He didn't ask for one thing: to heal my liver or your cancers or your jobs or fine. You know what I mean? He didn't say that, did He? But once you know where your position is, what I want to share with you is, before we close, now I can intelligently, what little mind this is, discern some things about how do I approach certain things. Do I go in there blind, believing everything, or just say, you know, I'm backing off. I'm going to study this out a little bit. I'm going to read some things, and I'm going to try this along with this, you know, that type of thing. Father and God, we thank You so much. We thank You for the things You've given us through these kind words of enlightenment, so we can understand the knowledge and will and determine for our own selves and our spirit that You give us what is the will for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.